Welcome to the GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. Today, we're diving into one of the most dramatic and exam-important topics in your physical geography unit, tropical cyclones. Whether your exam board calls them hurricanes, typhoons, or cyclones, these are the same incredible weather systems, and understanding them deeply will earn you marks right across the paper. So grab your revision notes and let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Tropical cyclones are intense, low-pressure weather systems that form over warm tropical oceans. They bring devastating combinations of high winds, torrential rainfall, storm surges, and coastal flooding. They are one of the most powerful natural hazards on Earth, and examiners absolutely love testing you on them. Before we talk about how they form, we need to understand where they form and why. This links directly to global atmospheric circulation, which trips up so many candidates in the exam. Think about the Earth as a giant heat engine. The sun heats the equator much more intensely than the poles. This creates a pattern of rising warm air at the equator and sinking cool air at the poles. This is the basis of the Hadley cell, one of the three main circulation cells in the atmosphere. At the equator, warm, moist air rises, cools, and condenses, creating the Intertropical Convergence Zone, or ITCZ. This is a belt of low pressure, cloud, and heavy rainfall near the equator. The ITCZ shifts north and south with the seasons, following the sun's overhead position. Here is the crucial exam point. Tropical cyclones form in the tropics, between roughly 5 and 20 degrees latitude. They cannot form at the equator itself, and this is a common mistake candidates make. Why not at the equator? Because they need the Coriolis effect to spin, and the Coriolis effect is zero at the equator. So, what are the conditions needed for a tropical cyclone to form? Remember the mnemonic WWILC: warm water, warm moist air, instability, low wind shear, and Coriolis effect. First, warm ocean water. The sea surface temperature must be at least 26.5 degrees Celsius, to a depth of around 50 metres. This is the fuel for the cyclone. The warm water causes rapid evaporation, pumping huge amounts of water vapour into the atmosphere. Second, warm moist air. This rising air is packed with water vapour, which is essentially stored energy. As the air rises and cools, the water vapour condenses, releasing latent heat. This latent heat warms the surrounding air, making it rise even faster. It is a self-reinforcing feedback loop. Third, atmospheric instability. The warm, moist air must be able to rise rapidly and freely. If the atmosphere is stable, the air cannot rise easily, and the cyclone cannot develop. Fourth, low wind shear. Wind shear means a change in wind speed or direction with altitude. High wind shear tears the developing storm apart before it can organise. Low wind shear allows the storm to build vertically. Fifth, the Coriolis effect. This is the deflection of moving air caused by the Earth's rotation. It causes the rising air to spin, creating the characteristic rotational structure of a cyclone. In the Northern Hemisphere, cyclones spin anti-clockwise. In the Southern Hemisphere, they spin clockwise. Now let's walk through the formation sequence step by step, because examiners often ask you to describe or explain this process. Stage 1. Warm ocean water, above 26.5 degrees Celsius, heats the air above it. This warm, moist air rises rapidly, creating an area of low pressure at the ocean surface. Stage 2. As the warm air rises, it cools, and the water vapour condenses, forming towering cumulonimbus clouds. This condensation releases latent heat, which warms the surrounding air and drives it upward even more powerfully. Stage 3. The Coriolis effect causes the rising air to begin rotating. This is the beginning of the organised spin that defines a cyclone. Stage 4. More warm, moist air is drawn in at the surface to replace the rising air. This feeds the storm and intensifies the rotation. The winds spiral inward and upward. Stage 5. As the storm intensifies, a calm central eye forms. The eye is an area of descending air, low pressure, and surprisingly calm, clear conditions. Surrounding the eye is the eye wall, the most violent part of the storm, with the strongest winds and heaviest rainfall. Stage 6. The cyclone weakens when it moves over cooler water or over land, cutting off its energy supply.
Now, let's talk about your case studies, because this is where so many marks are won and lost. You must have two named case studies, one for a developed country and one for an emerging or developing country. The examiner will not give credit for vague generalizations. You need specific facts and figures. Case study 1. Hurricane Katrina, USA, August 2005. This is your developed country example. Katrina was a Category 5 hurricane with wind speeds of 280 kilometers per hour. It made landfall on the Gulf Coast on the 29th of August 2005. The storm surge, up to 8 metres high in some areas, overwhelmed the levee system protecting New Orleans, flooding approximately 80% of the city. The impacts were severe. 1,836 people died. The economic damage was estimated at $125 billion. Over 1 million people were displaced. The responses included immediate search and rescue operations by the National Guard, emergency food and water distribution, and mass evacuations. Long-term responses included strengthening the levee system, stricter building codes, and significant investment in flood defences. Case study 2. Typhoon Haiyan, Philippines, November 2013. This is your emerging or developing country example. Haiyan was a Category 5 super typhoon with sustained wind speeds of 315 kilometers per hour. It made landfall on the Philippines on the 8th of November 2013. The impacts were catastrophic. Over 6,300 people died. The economic damage was estimated at $13 billion. The city of Tacloban was almost entirely destroyed. The storm surge, up to 7 meters high, devastated coastal communities. The responses included immediate international aid from over 60 countries, emergency food, water, and medical supplies. Long-term responses included strengthening the levee system, stricter building codes, and significant investment in flood defences. When examiners ask you to compare these two case studies, they want you to explain differences in terms of level of development. The Philippines had fewer resources for preparation, weaker infrastructure, and greater vulnerability. Despite this, the death toll from Haiyan was far higher than Katrina, even though Katrina caused greater economic damage in absolute terms. This reflects the USA's greater capacity to protect economic assets, but also the Philippines' greater human vulnerability. Right, let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. Common mistake number one, not using named examples. If the question says using a named example, you must name your case study. Candidates who write in a developed country without naming it will not access the higher mark bounce. Common mistake number two, confusing the impacts of tropical cyclones with other weather hazards. A storm surge is specific to tropical cyclones. Make sure you can explain what a storm surge is. It is a rise in sea level caused by the low pressure of the storm and the wind pushing water towards the coast. Common mistake number three, inaccurate description of global atmospheric circulation. Many candidates confuse the Hadley cell with the Ferrel cell, or can't explain why cyclones form between 5 and 20 degrees latitude. Common mistake number four, generalizing responses without linking to level of development. Examiners reward candidates who explain why responses differ, not just describe what they are. Now, a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these. Question 1. What is the minimum sea surface temperature needed for a tropical cyclone to form? The answer is 26.5 degrees Celsius. Question 2. What is the Coriolis effect, and why does it matter? It is the deflection of moving air caused by Earth's rotation. It causes cyclones to spin anti-clockwise in the northern hemisphere and clockwise in the southern hemisphere. Question 3. Name the two case studies you should use. Hurricane Katrina, USA, 2005, and Typhoon Haiyan, Philippines, 2013. Question 4. What is a storm surge? A rise in sea level caused by the low pressure of the storm and wind pushing water towards the coast. Question 5. What does WWIILC stand for? Warm water, warm moist air, instability, low wind shear, Coriolis effect. Let's wrap up.
Tropical cyclones form over warm ocean water above 26.5 degrees Celsius, between 5 and 20 degrees latitude. They bring high winds, intense rainfall, storm surges, coastal flooding, and landslides. Their impacts and responses vary significantly depending on a country's level of development. Your two case studies are Hurricane Katrina in the USA in 2005 and Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines in 2013. Always use specific facts and figures, and always link your comparisons to level of development. Examiners reward precise geographical knowledge, clear explanation of processes, and well-supported judgments. You have got this. Good luck with your revision.